shy little over, liver, liver, lead us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. Yes, it's me, Jill Spears, here for another week with my favorite gardener, of course, Lance. So good to have you here in January.
In January.
Such a treat.
The rest of the year.
I know. Things start earlier and earlier. And we have a special guest here. Really excited to have Don LaRoe from Zephro's Farm here in the North Fork Valley.
Hi.
Great to have you here, Don.
Yeah, thanks.
Don was here last year in March to talk about seed saving and got me fired up, and I think everybody else. So this is our third week of talking seed saving, and there's a lot of great stuff coming up. So great to have Don here, and I'm going to give the phone numbers, and we'll get the conversation started. So 970-527-4868, 1-866-KVNF now. I just love this topic. I'm getting more excited about it every year. You just come back last year, Don, from a seed saving workshop or event in Oregon, a conference, right? And learned a lot there, and you're kind of taking it to a whole nother level this year.
Yeah, we had the seed school in a day here last year and got to participate in that with the Rocky Mountain Seed Alliance. And then this fall I went to a seed school teacher training over in Denver with the Seed Alliance as well, with Rocky Mountain Seed Alliance. And really got excited to sort of teach seed saving. So, sort of came up with this idea to a seed-to-seed school.
Uh-huh.
Mostly because I want to get Lance out into the public and get
our
him,
own seed saver.
Get him from behind the microphone out into the public, teaching all that he knows.
Yeah,
you go for it. You know, that's great.
Yeah,
you are our own seed saving company here.
Well, I asked Don one time. I didn't ask him. I looked at the list again, and I said, how many of these classes do I have to go to? And it goes, Lance will be present at all of them.
All right. You hold him to that, Don.
It's once a month. He can do this.
Oh, yeah.
I have
faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, let's just put that out there right now, what this event is, and then we'll wind that up again. Because it's great. It's the seed-to-seed workshop.
School. Seed-to-seed school is what we're calling it. And It's going to be 9 days once a month from March through November, and it'll be on different people's farms. We're going to go to Lance's place three times.
Three.
So we're going to go. Yeah, he didn't read the fine print that he signed on the bottom line. I promise
that's
you, people.
That's a third, Lance.
We're going to start at Lance's place, check in the middle of the year, and then wind up there in November. Because Lance's place is something where he's, you know, obviously growing for himself and doing a lot of diversity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
a lot of stuff.
And so you'll get to see a lot of that sort of home scale a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then you'll also get out onto bigger farms and see people doing things on bigger scales. You can sign up at thelearningcouncil.org. It's $275, which, you know, is almost under $30 a class. There's some scholarships available through Slow Food Western Slope. For $50 off, and we're still working out some of the details. We're going to use the seed garden as a textbook, and we might get that donated to us. We're working on that. So, and lunch is included.
Oh,
so for $275, it's going to be a great deal.
What a great course. I just can't imagine 9 months of seed saving and learning. And you've had a lot of great sponsorship, and I want to mention that because a lot of people are helping you make this happen.
Yeah, we've had Engage has stepped up as one of the main sponsors, along with the Learning Council, as I mentioned, and then Voga also has stepped up to help sponsor us, Paonia Soil Company.
Awesome.
Yeah, so a lot of great I'm forgetting a couple, but yeah. So there's been a lot of support from the community to help make this affordable for people.
That's great. And we thank everybody for that. Food is so important. And I love that about this area, especially the North Fork, is everybody realizes that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So 527-486-8186 KVNF now. And Don, you up at Zephyros, and Don and Daphne run Zephyros up there.
Yep.
You've connected with some regional seed growers, and what's happening there?
Yeah, you know, part of this motivation for me is having gotten to work with Laura Parker at High Desert Seeds. You know, she's basically worked with us. We grew some seed for her this year, and then getting to see other regional seed companies do what they do, it really showed me the impact that you can have on a region by starting a little seed company. And, you know, for us, really, it started with Lance when he showed up, I think, with some cabbage or carrots.
Oh, the red cabbage.
And he said, I need a place to grow this out. Will you guys grow this out for me?
Yeah. They almost got cut down by a friend. The red cabbage, because the yellow flowers on these red stalks, purple stalks, quite striking.
Ooh, I bet it is.
They would look pretty in a bouquet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've got some room up there at Zephyros to do that. And that's a little bit of what seed saving requires, is a little bit of room, because you need volume to get the
right
diversity.
Well,
right,
and it's
diversity.
Like, what did you guys had a call last week?
Oh,
the brassicas.
The brassicas. We can mention that.
It's just a great, thanks, Don. Segue into that.
Yeah, the we had a email, right?
Right, from Connecticut, I believe
Connecticut,
it was.
And he wanted to put a portion of his garden into seed production with brassicas. And the broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, collards, and kale, and kohlrabi will all cross-pollinate. Now, there's all these other ones. Horseradish is its own thing. Mm-hmm. White-flowered mustard is its own thing. Indian mustard and mustard greens, those two will cross-pollinate.
And those are also all brassicas?
These are all brassicas.
Okay.
Rutabagas are sweet turnips, Siberian kale. They'll cross-pollinate. But you can grow one of all these different things, except for those broccoli, Brussels, and they'll all be able to make their own seed. You know, but you need, what would you say, 15, 20, 25 plants of each one?
Yeah, at least, I think. I think they recommend even a little more. It depends on, you know.
Yeah.
Are you just saving it for yourself? Are you saving it for a company who's going to resell it? Then maybe you need a lot more.
Right.
Yeah, but for yourself, a minimum of 25, really, you know.
And it's the diversity.
It's genetic.
Genetic, diversity. Right.
Yeah. The more, the better.
The more, the better. All right, Don, High Desert Seeds is out of Montrose.
Yep, they're out of Montrose, and so they've got a lot of regionally adapted seed, which is a great you know, reason to be working with them. And I think, you know, a lot of people, you might have a catalog on your table right now from Johnny's or High Mowing or God knows, you know, but the vast majority of these companies are territorial. They're from Washington, Oregon, Maine. Not climates like Colorado.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, where is that seed coming from? Well, not all of it's coming from Maine or Washington or Oregon. Some of it's being shipped in from Europe or all over the place. And some of it may be being grown, you know, here as well, or up in Idaho is a big seed growing region. You know, different regions are sort of better suited for different varieties of seed, particularly on a commercial scale. Using seed that's been grown out here in a high, dry climate and has been grown out on, you know, heavy clay soils and, you know, is going to give you a head start. So
yeah. The other thing about dry climate is no disease. You know,
that's part of you're drying those plants out to get the seed.
Yeah, get the seed. And the Northwest is known for all of its brassicas, and there's some disease. I think it's called black rot. I heard this just the other day, that's moving through the whole area.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, it's not that using those seeds isn't a good thing, because they've actually probably suffered a lot of disease. So they've built up resilience disease, and then you bring them out here, they have less disease. So now you can actually get them maybe, bred better to deal with high temperatures or clay soils or salt.
Yeah, and that's what I remember about our last visit, Don, is you just had so many positive things to say about seed saving. I mean, one disease type of situation worked into an opportunity for you. I mean, you were coming up with different varieties. It didn't matter that there were these big seed companies or these big, big companies out there happening. Seed saving is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to take back our food supply.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's sort of what, where this school came from was, me thinking, well, how am I going to teach seed saving to people in Delta County and in the North Fork Valley in this region? So much experience around here. But it is a great opportunity because it is a dry climate. We can get a lot of things to grow to seed here. We actually don't have a lot of diseases that are problems or pests. Like the pea weevil is a weevil that eats pea seed, and it's really hard to grow organic seed. But we can do that here because we luckily have not, knock on wood, had that infestation yet. So there's a lot of opportunities for farmers to make a lot of money. You know, Lance was saying right before we started that, you can make probably make more money as a seed grower than you can as a vegetable grower because one lettuce plant is worth, $2, maybe $2.50 a head at the farmer's market. You grow it out to seed, it's probably one plant will give you, $300 or $400 in seed. So.
Yeah, amazing amount of seed. And I don't think people understand that yield until they actually try it.
Yeah.
It's
phenomenal how much they produce.
Right.
Yeah.
You have years of seed stored up at
years and years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We love that.
so much.
All right. Hey, we have Jim from Paonia on the line, and Jim has more information on the seed to seed program. Thanks for calling in, Jim. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm pretty good.
Good.
I just want to help out down there. The other sponsor is Mike Jackson from Colorado Western Realty.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim.
So, at your service.
Thank you, Jim, and thanks to all of those sponsors. It's just great and very exciting to see this happening.
And again, when you're growing seed regionally, it's adapted to this area.
It's adapted to the area, exactly.
Just soil, sunlight we have such intense sunlight. It's really good to get things adjusted to that.
What's an example, Lance, as you started to save seed of something that you saw adapt rather quickly or that really made an impact?
Well, I know something that took a long time to adapt.
Okay.
That will go the opposite way.
Okay.
And I've mentioned this story before, but the Hutterite soup beans, and they just wouldn't produce. And at about 7 years, I said, why am I planting this bean? I'm not getting anything. It took 7 years. I planted it that year, and I've never had a problem with production since. But it took 7 years of planting that bean out before it actually acclimated to my conditions.
So you're trying to grow up for seed that whole time, and it didn't.
Yeah, it never really produced that much. Never crossed or anything. But then as I got red more and stuff like that, it was Hutterite soup beans are from the east and then originally from Europe. And so they're somewhat cloudy, not so much cool, but cloudy. And to have it grow in this hot, dry, sunny location was just abnormal for them.
Which is so funny because we grew some last year and they were a horrible producer.
we had leftover seed from
Fedco, somewhere from the East Coast, and they just did not produce. So it's a great example of had we just gone to Lance and said, "Hey, Lance, you got a little bit of Hutterite soup beans we can grow," we would have saved ourselves, 7 years of trial and error.
And that's one of the benefits of these regional seed companies that you're seeing. Come on, right, Don?
Yeah, I think that's one of the benefits. I think the other benefit that I was, learning about at the training I did was just their ability to impact a region and really train people to grow seed and help make people realize that it really can be a business. I think as more people move here to become growers, there's only so many tomatoes that you can sell, so many, eggplants that you can sell. But, seed is something that people want. And there's seed companies all over the country who need seed growers and are willing to pay good money if you can produce a good product. And that's kind of where we're at here is you know, figuring out how to get the people who own the regional seed companies clean seed that germinates well and
right.
has
yeah.
been, you know, dried properly, stored properly, all that sort of thing. So right. that's those are sort of some of the things we want to cover in this class as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a lot of high desert seeds around the area and actually grew some high desert seeds from Montrose this year. And so Laura down there is probably utilizing people like Zephros and other seed growers to
yep,
get
yep.
her supply.
Yep, and she'll actually be here in Paonia with her seed on February 4th because we're showing a movie as a fundraiser for the Seed to Seed School. The movie's called The Seeds of Time, and it's about a man named Cary Fowler who was integral in creating the seed bank that is in, and I will decimate the name of the town, but basically in the middle of nowhere, northern Norway, and it's a seed bank that was designed and to basically withstand, you know, all sorts of catastrophes, and
right.
and people from all around the world have sent seed there, so it's really. It is
amazing.
It's an amazing seed bank and kind of a crazy story about how he dedicated his life to making this happen.
Wow.
So yeah, February 4th at 7 o'clock, come mm-hmm. on out. It's by donation. It's going to be it's a really beautiful movie and yeah, help support the Seed to Seed School, and you can buy some high desert seeds while you're there. And
great. So that's next Monday night.
Yep.
Here in Paonia at the Paradise Theater.
Yep.
If you haven't been to Paonia, if you're down in Montrose, that's a great time to come up here and participate, see what's going on. And I find the seed bank fascinating. It's
yeah.
Just...
yeah.
It's really cool to get mm-hmm. to see the inside of it and, yeah, just
yeah.
Yeah. all the you just the stacks
so
of
are they,
boxes.
So are they just storing stuff there, or are they also taking it out and planting it and doing, high, you know, developing things?
I mean, I think they're maybe working on planting some, but it's a tremendous amount of seed that's been sent to this
yeah.
to the seed bank.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty impossible, I think, to really, you know, to grow it all out.
Yeah, great way to kick off your whole seed to seed workshop and 9 months of learning
yeah.
With that start on the seed bank. So.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we can make one here.
Mm-hmm. That'd be fabulous.
Well,
what about the Delta County Library?
And there it is. And actually, Sarah's going to be at the first seed class. And then that night, March 6th, because it's the first Wednesday of every month, that night, March 6th, we'll be having Voga and the Learning Council are putting on a seed panel and a seed swap. And it's going to be down at Shadescapes that night, so it'll sort of kick off the school, but that's open to the public, so I believe it's I think it's at 7 o'clock. Jim can call in again and correct me. But yeah, so there'll be a seed panel. You can, you know, find that information on the Voga website or the Learning Council website. And a seed swap. So we did it last year, and we're going to try to up the ante and make it a little
nice,
even better this mm-hmm. year. So,
yeah, the variety of seeds that you can find on the Delta County Library exchange, I guess, online is amazing. I mean, different types of kale and just the variety is awesome.
Yeah.
And I guess that goes to this whole power of regional seed growing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, take this class and hopefully you can return more
yeah.
seed to the library.
Right, right.
Oh, I was just thinking of the seed bank. You got a very high-tech one there up in the Arctic Circle, shall we
right,
say.
Right.
And we can have a low-tech one of the whole entire valley.
Sure.
Everybody that's a gardener can have their stash of seed.
I think that's awesome.
You know, it's just
like
another
local,
way. I'm not saying good or bad.
It's no. I think, yeah, I think it's really important because getting to Norway from here is not easy.
Yeah.
Bring it down to the level.
You know.
And I think that's what it's all about, is bringing it down to local mm-hmm. and eating local. I mean, it's that whole big thing. So some of these seed companies, regional seed companies, are doing quite well, and they might even start as a business. We're talking profitable, shipping seed to other parts of the country.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's sort of a consortium of regional seed companies that work together. There's Dan Hobbs is over outside of Pueblo, and he's got a seed company, Farm Direct Seeds, and he works with sort of a whole group of regional seed companies. A lot of them are out of the Northwest, but, you know, they're really doing good breeding. And so to sort of branch out as many of us are sitting around the fire with seed catalogs and sort of look mm-hmm. look for new and unique catalogs and look for those people who need our support to do the breeding for their regions. I think it's really important. And then, you know, to get people to be able to do it on their own is also what we're trying to do.
Yeah, exactly. What are some of the seeds that you've had great luck with up there at Zephro's farm in Peonia?
We've been peas are one of them that we're looking at doing more and more of. Been growing out some beans for Laura and working on some tomatoes as well. Mm. Had a patch of broccoli rop that we just sort of let go, and it produced a tremendous amount of seed. But, you know, like Lance was pointing out earlier, we had to really make sure that was all we had blooming in that species mm-hmm. on the farm.
Because it's the brassica.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. do grow a lot of that. And a lot of perennial seeds. We grow a lot of perennials for our cut flower operation, so we save a lot of that when things are sort of are done. Fava beans are sort of an an interest of mine, so I'm trying to find cold, hardy fava beans. And, yeah, you know, there would mm-hmm. be all sorts of things going on yeah. all over if I wasn't, you know, curtailed by trying to make this my living. So,
yeah, I just want to say thank you to Don and Daphne up there at Zephro's, because you've always provided some educational aspect to what you're doing up there at the farm, whether it's bringing kids up there from school or the seed saving workshop. It's great to have you spearheading that kind of thing here in the Valley.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, and this school really is to – there's so many amazing people here. So we're going to go to Pat Frazier's farm.
Great.
And we're going to go to Mark Waltemeyer, Thistle Whistle. We're getting Casey Piscura, who has a small regional seed company over in Carbondale. He's actually been breeding tomatoes for cold hardiness.
Wow.
So he's going to come over and talk about that. And he's got some pretty cool things going on with his tomatoes. Mike Chalmers, who's been dry land farming grain over on Fruitland Mesas, we're going to go out to his place. So that's going to be pretty neat to see what's working for him. And I mean, especially after last year in the drought, I think he...
Right. Interesting.
You know, struggle creates opportunity for some seeds to thrive, and mm-hmm. you know, and so
there you go.
And we'll go over to the Trading Post and look at what Greg Cranson's been doing for, you know, decades over there, mm-hmm. And look at a lot of his seed cleaning equipment. So as it goes on, we're going to obviously be cleaning more seed. And then really one of the most exciting parts of this class to me is that we're working at the I will say it's the newly named Rogers Mesa Research Station, the Organic Center at Rogers Mesa is what I believe
like it.
It's going to get called. It's going to get renamed because it really is a research station that is for organic farming. And we're going to be based out of there and we're going to do the class will sort of decide on what we grow out to seed, but mm-hmm. I think Lance will have a little bit to say about some things that might get planted down there that, you know, he can't grow up at his place or, mm-hmm. or I can't grow at my place or whatever. Yeah. And then we'll also do a variety trial. So we'll choose something to grow out and actually show people how to do a variety trial. So, you know, if you know, that's sort of the first step is like, what are you going to save a seed of if you don't know what even grows well mm-hmm. here? So we'll choose something. I mean, you could say like lettuce, you could grow out 40 different kinds of lettuce and be like, wow, look at this. This one has done really, really well.
Right.
That's the one I want to breed or work on. So we'll sort of go over that mm-hmm. There. So that's going to be really cool as well.
Yeah, lettuce doesn't cross-pollinate that much.
So you can grow a lot of varieties.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boy, this is just all really hands-on. I mean, it's amazing. And again, the seed garden is most likely the textbook that you're going to
It will be the textbook. We're just trying to get it paid for by by someone so you don't have to buy it. But either way, we've got a discount on it already, less than half price. So, but yeah, that's sort of what we'll be referring to throughout the class. And each week, each class will be looking at a different family of plants. So we'll sort of start off with like beans and the Asteraceae, the lettuce, so those sort of more simple things. And then as you go through the course, we'll look at obviously the more difficult things, you know, like the cucurbits and the Brassicaceae, which, you know, can be tricky and require special equipment if you want to grow a lot of different ones in a small area. And
so from very easy, maybe starting with peas and
beans.
You're
starting with lettuce the first time too? Mm-hmm. Lettuce and nuts.
Yep, lettuce will be the second class. Will be lettuce.
Okay.
And then
because I've been doing my homework.
Good. That's good.
Because you have a third of the classes.
You signed on the bottom line.
How'd you do that, Don? Strong arm.
It was winter, you know. Yeah, hope springs eternal at this time of year, right?
Yeah.
Anything's possible. It was snowing.
Good.
Lance had been out skiing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those
relaxed
days.
Yeah.
Or maybe you gave him a cookie. <'cause>
One more thing to do. Right. What the hell?
That's how I'm going to keep him coming back.
Yeah, cookies. So you've got this great course schedule. Is that available on the Learning Council or on the
Boca
site?
So you just go to thelearningcouncil.org and you scroll down and you'll see a link to the class and it'll tell you sort of where we're going to be each week, who's going to be there, and sort of what the focus is. And then there's a bigger description as well of the class. You know, we're going to have Chris Bailey's going to cook lunch for us every week with
lovely
food. So yeah, you don't even have to worry about bringing your lunch. You just get to drop in and focus on the seeds. And, you know, and hopefully the idea is if anyone wants to get it out to their friends further away, that once a month you can come over from Carbondale or Boulder or wherever, because it's not a huge, you know, it's not like taking a week's worth of classes. It's,
right.
And that way you get to really see a lot of different plants throughout the season as they all the way from a seedling all the way to where they make seed. So,
yeah, I think that's what makes this really powerful is that whole timeline of it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take one more call. 527-4868-1866. KVNF now. Lance?
Yeah, you want me to say something?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, seed growing. What are you growing for seed this year?
What am I growing? Rumba carrots.
Okay.
What is that? New York early onions. These are biennials, so they've stored. Amish. Deer tongue, the green deer tongue, lettuce, and it's already planted. The deer tongue lettuce seems to really like to be cold stratified, so it's better to plant it in the fall.
Okay.
So that's already planted. I do have a patch of spinach, that northern winter, that I might have brought you some with the real big leaves like this. That were
looking leaves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm going to let that go or not. Because I grew it out last year also. So I have plenty of seed, but I might do it anyways. And every time I grow a grain crop or bean crop, I'll always leave a minimum of a quart of seed from the beans or something.
From whichever grain you've grown.
The small grains, a minimum of a quart. The corn, I'll be growing popcorn, I think. Maybe a yellow flint, but I'll save 60 ears.
Wow.
Yeah,
do you change this up according to your supply, or do you change it up?
It's actually more due to the rotation.
Rotation.
Like I have...
Of your beds?
No, the plants.
Oh, the plants.
The varieties. Like I have 7 types of carrots, so every year I'm growing out a
carrot. A different one.
And then, so by the time I'm growing it out, it's 7 years old. Now, we've mentioned last week with Sarah, or 2 weeks ago, about I have carrot seed that's 17 years old and still germinating. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal.
That's pretty amazing.
And stuff. But every year I grow out a different type of onion because I have 5 onions. Lettuces, as they get old, they seem to stop germinating as well. So I'll say, I need to grow that one out. Or how much do I have in the jar?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And pretty soon I need to grow out mammoth red rock cabbage. And that's a 2-year process. It's growing it out 1 year and storing it and planting it the next year.
Oh, wow. Right. Yeah. So part of this seed to seed school is that they can take a look at your seed supply up there and mm-hmm. how you rotate that and, yep. And I have, what your yield is.
Yeah, I might do a P. I forget what I did last year. I just have to look at the date. You know, I don't know. I think it was snap peas. And this year I might do the snow peas.
Okay.
You know, I mentioned when Sarah's here that squirrels really like those peas in the pod, the shell, as a green shell pea. And so and the chipmunks will eat them too. They don't wait till they get dry. They want them green shelled and they'll eat them right off the pod. So it's one of those things.
Yeah. One of those things. Yeah. Exactly. Don, we just have a couple seconds. Is there anything you'd like to add about this great course that you're putting together, Seed to Seed School, coming up?
The last thing I'll say is you guys were talking with Sarah the other week and you're talking about not saving hybrids seeds. And I just wanted to say really quickly that that's one of the things we'll talk about is actually saving hybrid seeds and dehybridizing the seeds, because you really can do that. In point of fact, probably a lot of seeds that you look in catalogs that are called hybrids probably have already been dehybridized because it's very expensive to keep the inbred parents around. Ah. So it makes sense for them to grow it out 5-8 generations, get it to where whatever they bred it for, say resistance to a disease, they get it stabilized to that, and then they can basically treat it like an open pollinated plant. Also can do that. You can take what someone has put into that hybrid plant. Maybe it's a really big fennel bulb, or it's a disease resistance, whatever it is that you like about that hybrid, and then you got to take a ride. You got to grow it mm-hmm. out for a bunch of years and mm-hmm. pull out all of the weird off types that are going to show up, but eventually you can get it to come true to itself again and dehybridize it.
It will stabilize.
Right.
Yeah, it stabilizes and you'll eventually get what you want.
Fascinating.
Yeah, you're the one getting to make the choice, so you get to see which goes to seed.
And that is not illegal. You guys sort of hinted that maybe like growing the hybrid seeds is illegal. That's not illegal.
No.
Patented and
yes.
and protected seeds, you do get into some murky waters, but that is not actually illegal to do that.
Okay. And you can learn all about that in the Seed to Seed School that's going to be happening, and it's kicking off next Monday at the Paradise Theater here in Ipanema. With
The Seeds of Time.
Seeds of Time
movie. Yep.
Going on.
Come on down.
Come on down. And remember, you can check it out at thelearningcouncil.org or VOGA.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Don, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Enthused about this. And we'll be back next Tuesday to talk more gardening and seeds. And it's Leah coming up with One Woman's Perspective on KVNF next. Okay. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Have a good evening.
I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you rock to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.